Chris killed himself as SWAT team swarmed his hotel this morning. Former D.C. homicide investigator Ted Williams explains the entire case.
What we do know is that on Friday, Dr. Stephen Pitts, a well-known forensic psychiatrist associated with the JonBenet Ramsey case, was engaged in an argument, and witnesses then heard gunshots. That was on Friday. We then learned on Saturday that two paralegals at a law firm there in the Scottsdale area were shot and killed. And then on Saturday, we had a fourth victim shot and killed. This was a person associated with mental health. Mm-hmm. What the law enforcement officers have been able to establish is that the Dr. Pitts shooting and the two paralegals are connected, I suspect, by ballistic testing.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. And finally, we're seeing that 46% of San Francisco Bay Area residents surveyed say they want to move out of the area within the next few years. That number is up 34% from a few years back. The main reason people want to leave the area, cost of living. 45% said cost of living, while 27% said home prices are just too darn high. The survey conducted interviewed 1,000 people. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Weather this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 72. West wind, 3 to 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 53. West wind around 7 miles per hour. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Afternoon, increasing clouds with a high near 74. West wind 6 to 13 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 52. Northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 69. North wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 52.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey.
Hello.
And hi, Tracy. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We don't have an office or a paid staff, and we just try to help people who either have someone in their family who has a mental illness or they themselves who may have a mental illness get the right treatment and get on with their life. We also do presentations. We have courses. Everything we do is free. There is no charge. And if you'd like some more information, feel free to call us, 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone, an operator or anything, manning the phone 24 hours, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you just as soon as possible. Today, we're very privileged to have with us Shay Dibley. Shay is a NAMI board member and someone with a mental health issue who is going on with his life. Shay's married, the father of two children, and recently opened up his own insurance office. Shay, I've known you a long time. Welcome. Thank you. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Larry. Can you hear me okay? I'm on a headset on my landline here.
We need you to talk just a little bit louder,
yeah,
Shay.
I'm
pushing up to the max
is
here.
Is that okay?
That's definitely better. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Technical difficulties here, but I'm really privileged to actually be on this show, and I really feel that NAMI is an important, very important national organization. That what Larry didn't mention is there's a local chapter in each county of these United States of America. So all across the country, NAMI is a grassroots initiative that appears in, I think, nearly every county to some shape or form in the at least the 48 contiguous states of the union, which is great because the mission is something I really believe in.
I just have to correct you a little bit, Shay. There's not one in every county in every state. New Jersey has one in every county in the state. Some of the states have, you know, there are one or two in the county or, you know, in the bigger areas or whatever, but they're not in every county. So, but there is one in every state in the union. So,
and I think
there's a state organization, at least in every
state. In every state, that's correct.
Okay. All right. So, sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to mention I have some relatives in Georgia, and they know some people suffering with mental illness and say that it is just horrendous down there in terms of what's available compared to what we have in New Jersey.
Well, we are very blessed in New Jersey, especially in Hunterdon County, actually. But that's to say that every county in this state needs their local NAMI and various supporting organizations. But New Jersey is exceptional across the country with the quality of care and understanding that we have. Some states are a little bit better than we are, such as maybe California and Washington State with their quality, but very few areas around the state are as fortunate as we are around the state.
That's true. Shay, like I said, I've known you since you well into recovery and doing very good. Mm-hmm. How was it prior to that?
Prior to that, I was in a sort of a darkness and then light, you know, sort of either descending to the darkness or coming to the light, really. Felt like there was a dark cloud over me half the time.
Mm.
So it sort of felt either that I was very well or very ill, sort of not much in between. And now I feel much more smoothed out. In other words, my peaks and valleys come and go, but they're not devastating and they're not, you know, prohibitive to me anymore.
Well, everybody has peaks and valleys, you know, everyone. I don't care who it is. You know, the problem is that for those who do not have mental illness, the peaks and valleys, they'll, you know, get over them and go on with their life. Whereas with mental illness, the peaks may be real, you know, the valleys may be real deep and the peaks may be real short, and they're almost constant. So,
right.
You know.
As you said, not much
and
in
it,
the middle.
It becomes very difficult to hold down what you call a steady job.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very difficult, and I know in son, Larry, your youngest, who's actually a little bit older than I am.
Yeah, isn't that true?
Yeah, but in his case, having dual diagnoses
Right.
A double dose. It's almost near impossible to actually live a quote-unquote regular life. I won't say normal, regular.
Well, I'm, you know, very thankful that they did find a medication that he hasn't had a seizure in 3 years. He's had his own apartment for 7, and he's been working at BJ's for over 3. And so, you know, and he volunteers one day a week at the hospital. In fact, today he was there. So
but
he's got
he's
a pretty...
very fortunate, don't forget, to have you and Priscilla just so diligent in his care. And he does a lot. He does a lot himself.
Right.
You know, a lot of it. I mean, you can't do it for somebody.
No, and his siblings are a big help too.
Yeah.
He relies on them, and they, you know, they help him out, and you know, they're very supportive.
Yeah. I have a friend who might be listening. Shout out to Ruben Lampert. He's a psychologist, and he's Wisdom Spring Wellness.
Okay.
Down in Union County, and his whole career, and he's starting his own practice. I know him very well, and he's literally doing everything that I would recommend for somebody that is a newly diagnosed case of really any mental illness.
Right.
Such as breathing, meditation, eating healthy, getting exercise, doing things that are positive, you know.
Right.
Positive.
Right.
In your life. Not just taking medication and abusing yourself, you know.
Right, right.
Where a lot of people fall into that trap, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. At what age, Shay, did you have your first incident? And actually, what is your diagnosis?
My diagnosis is paranoid schizophrenia.
Okay.
So
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, I know you are.
My son, you know.
Similar, you know, my situation to yours. My siblings are very supportive, as well as my parents. And so I had to do, again, you can't do anything for somebody.
No, but, you know, the support, even if they can't help you,
right.
The knowledge that they're there and supporting you, I believe, helps a lot, too, you know.
It does, and I'm just very thankful that mm-hmm. I had the outcome that I did. Part of the problem that we don't address here at NAMI as much is the dual diagnosis of substance abuse and mental illness paired.
Right.
Though that's a, you know, as you know, we're in the middle of an opioid sort of crisis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at the same time, we're battling mental health issues. At the same time, we're socioeconomically basically just coming apart. You know, the upper middle class is becoming wealthier, and the lower middle class is becoming relatively less wealthy. So it's not a really a positive trend that I see that we're on, but I think we're going to right the ship. I think Americans have done it before, and I think we'll right the ship.
Shay, let's jump back for a moment. How old were you when you had your first incident?
19.
You were 19, and what exactly happened, if you're comfortable talking about it?
I just was pledging a fraternity at the same time as singing in a acapella group, as well as in the college choir, as well as dating women and hanging out with my friends, young in college, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't sleep for about 72 hours and was very, very real episode, just a complete episode of mental issues. And I, at the time in dorm rooms, we had a little plastic phone that basically we could dial out. And I dialed my mom. She made it a 4-hour drive to come get me back. And I spent about 2.5 weeks in the hospital in Morristown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's where it all started for me. But it wasn't until years later that I had a correct diagnosis and got on the correct medication. Had a lot of ups and downs with that as well.
What other diagnoses did you have?
Aggravated depression. Okay. In other words, unexplained sort of depression.
Yeah.
Didn't really fit depression, but they diagnosed me with depression and put me on antidepressants and mood stabilizers. So that wasn't helpful due to my true diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I didn't exhibit all the symptoms at the time. That we tend to have these early or even prodrome symptoms, if you've heard of that.
Prodrome
symptoms are, some people describe it as, I was 12 years old and started seeing or hearing things, right? Mm-hmm. And then you don't have those symptoms at all for the rest of your adolescence until you one day find out you have schizophrenia.
Oh, okay.
Mm. So it's like prodrome. It's very hard to describe.
Do you feel that you had that?
I don't really.
Okay.
I never really had prodrome symptoms, but I've read a lot. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the book, The Center Will Not Hold,
mm-hmm.
Written by a very well-educated woman who's actually a professor to this day at the University of San Diego, I think, described her prodrome symptoms in her book, The Center Will Not Hold, which... Center Will Not Hold comes from literature. It's a poem. It's a line from a poem. So, and the author of the poem was literally writing about his own mental struggle in a time when there was not medication. Mm-hmm. There was not treatment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, very powerful book. If you get a chance, I'd maybe post a link to it on the NAMI 100 in Facebook page.
Okay. That'd be great. We have to take a quick break. Time just flies by, okay? So if you just hang on for 1 second, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Our guest today is Shay Dibley, and Shay is a NAMI board member, and he also has a mental health issue, and he's going on with his life. We were talking about, you had mentioned earlier, Shay, that your family and your siblings were very supportive. Your wife is very supportive, isn't she?
Absolutely. In fact, there's no substitute for the amount of stand-upishness that my wife has imparted, in this whole process.
Right.
Absolutely nobody that I credit more to my eventual wellness and eventual well-being than my wife.
Yeah.
Because it's just, my mother did a lot in the early years, but then she moved away, and I had to, and my wife's family also. I'm very fortunate to have great in-laws. My wife's family is wonderful.
That's great.
That really makes a difference, does it? Doesn't it happen?
It does. And I know that if my wife was away or if she got held up somewhere, they'd be right there for our kids, their grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, right.
They would not just be like, and they offer me dinner quite a few times when my wife does go away. So they want manja, you know, just come eat. And it takes a lot of pressure off me, you know, when she is away, if she has to travel for work, which is only rarely. But, you know, it does happen.
You sure she's not trying to get away from you sometimes?
She absolutely is.
I'm only kidding, Shay.
But I do the same thing, to be honest with you, to her, because sometimes it's nice, and it's nice to be out together.
Right. No, I've been married 53 years, Shay. I know what you're talking about.
Well, on June 9th, which is this Saturday. We'll be married 12 years.
All right. Happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know... Yep. We were talking about support, you know, and I think most people need or require support of some kind.
Absolutely.
But if they don't have family who will help them and support them, where do they get that support they need?
I've always been a believer in I'll relate this directly to this point. People that want to meet people that are quality individuals, where do they meet people for romantic purposes? I always say join a Rotary, join a Kiwanis. Those people aren't looking for love, but a lot of times a common sort of cause or a common meeting can bring you that meaningfulness in your interactions. You know, something that you both believe in, a cause. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because other people meet their spouse, which I did. I met my spouse at work at the time we were dating. And that's meaningful because we didn't meet each other at a bar, you know.
Right, right.
So
are you recommending this for people with mental health issues too?
I am.
Join a Rotary or Kiwanis?
Just as you don't talk business mostly, like my agency, like right now I could just be talking about my agency, but I don't really discuss that when I'm down at NAMI, because NAMI is a special sort of time for me to have dedicated to the cause at hand. And just like you don't discuss love at a Rotary, but you do discuss personal things and gain friendships with meaningful people. And I think that's important. I mean, we can't all do that. But I think that for the most part, we can do a little bit better. We can sort of find people that give you know what about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just random friends that you like to drink with or something. That's self-medicating, first off, and it's not productive, you know?
Right.
Meet people at a book club. Luis Hartman runs a book club. You know, somebody who shares something, one of your interests with you, one of your healthy interests. And I'm not saying that, look, Larry and I have known each other for a long time. We do stuff for one another. But he doesn't need me. If he needed me, he would call me.
And I know that I could call you if I needed you.
Right. I would leave my office, drive down there if there was a crisis happening and you needed my help.
And exactly the same thing. You would do the same thing for me, and I would do the same thing for you. So we know that, you know.
Right. But I wouldn't have known you in the first place. I wouldn't have met you at a bar.
No. I don't drink.
But that's the kind of thing I'm saying. Make your own sort of support system, however you may do that.
Right. And it could be like a lot of folks go to the Getting Together Center, which for those of you that don't know is a peer-run organization, and they cook dinners and they go on little trips and stuff like that. They'll go to the Patriots baseball game once a year.
Right. And those are all healthy sort of activities.
Right.
You're outside, you're moving around, it's not focused around self-medication or right. destructive behavior.
Right, exactly. Full or modified functional recovery is possible. But how does one go about it? The person has to have a desire to get better. And without the desire and willpower, it's almost futile, isn't it?
We can talk about this all day. I think that the journey is different for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
And normal is different for every single person.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, it's not like a recipe for success or failure. Sort of, don't give up. Just never give up. People need you in their life. You contribute to other people's lives. You know, I want that message to be loud and clear. Whoever you are, you make a difference in other people's lives too. But if you don't work for your own wellness, nobody else will work for your own wellness. You need to work for your own wellness.
Right, right.
You can't expect other people to constantly be... You need to, at some point, work for your own wellness.
Just asking, after you had this episode at 19, how long did it take for you to accept your diagnosis? Was it something where you sort of instantly were on the right track, or did it take a lot of attempts and stops and starts?
I'm also fortunate to have had a psychiatrist that was extremely insightful. He had written some books. He was just he had been the department chair of psychiatry at Summit Medical, Atlantic Health Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he has passed, and now I'm with his son, who has taken over his practice, who is an MD. But what I'm trying to say is that diagnosis isn't everything, believe me. It can change on a daily basis. Some days you can feel more bipolar. Some days you can feel more schizophrenic. Some days you just feel depressed. Some days you just feel manic. Whatever the case is. But you know what? It's good to have to go into a doctor's office and be weighed and asked about what you're eating. Asked about how many cigarettes you smoke, because I smoke cigarettes. So all these things that are tangential to our... we think are tangential to our mental health. They're not really. They're sort of all very well interconnected. So I just think it's important. If you can, not everyone can, partner with their doctor. I've suggested edits to my medication. Most of the time I've been wrong. I've suggested edits, and he's given me edits to my own thought about the medication, and then pretty quickly gone back to the original dose.
You know, it's amazing because over the years, and having been a NAMI almost 20 years, it's so frustrating because everybody's body processes medication differently. And you, Shay, may be able to take aspirin or Buffer, and I can't, or vice versa. Or they prescribe a drug for me that works, boom, bam, right away, and may take 10 different combinations to get one for you. And I know that's true because it wasn't until, about 4 years ago that they finally found the medication for my son that worked.
Right.
And, you know, and allows him to hold a job and have his own apartment and so on and so forth. When his struck, he was 20. And, you know, I believe I told you, he came home from college break, and I was going to paint. So at that time, 20 years ago, it was oil-based paint, so I had a 2-gallon can of turpentine, and he drank it.
Oof.
And I don't know if you've ever smelled turpentine, but it stinks. I can't imagine what it tastes like. The doctors were amazed that he didn't burn his whole insides out, throat and stomach and the whole nine yards, but he didn't.
They had to pump his stomach.
Oh, yeah. They pumped him for like 3 days. But when he got out of the hospital, he was out of 2 or 3 days. He attempted suicide again, and then he wound up for almost 3 years hospitalized in state hospitals. He was in Trenton Psych for almost 20 months. Governor at the time was Whitman, and she said, if you've got a mental health hospital in your county, you get transferred there. So they transferred him from Trenton Psych to Hagedorn. He was there for another 11 months. And then when he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more time than we can count.
Right.
And it wasn't...
You really got to know what the revolving door felt like.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it was like they'd always try, you know, this medication and that medication. And at the time, his epileptic medication was conflicting with his psychotic medication and vice versa. So it was like, you know, a zoo parade. But... you know, when they finally found the medication that worked for the psychosis, then shortly after they found one for his epilepsy, and like I said, he hasn't had a seizure in over 3 years, you know, it just like changed the whole thing, you know.
Right. It was the right dose.
Right. Exactly. You know. And
I know just talking to people that I know have mental illness, mostly in, I'm not going to mention any names.
No, you don't have to mention
it. That I speak with that also have mental illness say, well, what dose of that are you on? And I say, the dose. And they say, well, I'm on quite a bit more than that or less than that or whatever. And, you know, I can't believe that dose works for you and this works for me differently. You know,
and when they say that, Shay, just tell them the bodies are different.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, they digest things differently.
The metabolism,
everything. Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I know you speak about becoming a team with your doctor. Would you like, and, you know, in recovery, would you like to elaborate a little bit on that?
I would, but I'd also just like to give a little bit of a shout-out to all the other services in
sure.
Hunterdon County.
Go ahead.
Hunterdon County is wonderful because we have a hospital, so we have an urgent hospital, first off, that that processes people with mental health issues through and into quite well into hospital beds and out then back into the community now that we no longer have Hagedorn and a lot of these other places. Also, we have a psychiatrist on call for basically telepsychiatry.
Mm-hmm.
So these are medical doctors that take their low-paying telepsychiatry pay and help people over the phone. We also have
and it's through Skype, too.
Yep, through Skype. We also have outpatient services, which are outside of the hospital day program. We have adolescent programs. We have jail diversion programs. Not really in Hunterdon County, the jail diversion, but in other counties, they are trying to, and what I'll explain what jail diversion is, for a non-violent offender, someone who was just taken in, maybe they had a little bit of drugs on them, maybe, but they're not a violent offender. They're just not in the right place at the right time.
It would been like shoplifting or something like that.
Yeah, shoplifting, or they were outside in very little clothes, disturbing the peace. And whatever, it's just, it can happen. These things can happen. We have screeners who will come out, and they're certified to do this screening. These are completely outside of NAMI. I'm not even talking about NAMI yet.
Nope.
NAMI has a lot of things, too. But, okay, they have screeners that come and try to help the police in the arrest and the processing of these people into various programs.
If you remember...
And then, you know, in other counties such as Union County, they have a jail diversion program so that the judge is actually trying, if he can, to divert these patients into other care rather than jail.
Just to interrupt you for a minute, in Hunterdon County, our prosecutor firmly believes in jail diversion.
Right.
And does attempt to divert persons from jail. So, you know, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Right.
You know, our prosecutor is Mr. Kearns, and he is very good about that. He firmly believes in that.
They also have a program that's sort of tangential to NAMI, which is called CIT, which I am certified in.
Yeah, so am I.
you are too.
Right.
In the John Samler Police Academy. It's held in the Police Academy. And what it is crisis intervention training for the police, really. So that the police, often the first responders are the police, so that they know better how to help somebody that's in a crisis, and then get them over to the appropriate care, or if they need to go to jail, they need to go to jail. That's it. But, you know, they talk about protecting the police officer, but not just jumping the gun in order to wrestle this person to the ground who might be in a mental health crisis, cuffing them and then stuffing them in the police car. You know, things like that. I mean, we don't have very much of that going on anymore anyway in most of New Jersey. But there are things, obviously, if the person has a weapon, it's a much different story. The police officers have to protect themselves and the people around the scene. So they're, but anyway, you know what I mean?
You know, I just like to inject, if you remember, or you may not know, but I used to work on Saturday mornings in the emergency services at the hospital. And that's twofold. It's screening of patients that come into the ER for overdose or attempted suicide or things like that, or they get called out to houses. And I was working one Saturday morning, and a phone call came in, and the screener called and said to me, would you like to come with me? I could use your help. I said, sure. So we went to a house in Hunterdon County, and there was a big young man, and I'm saying big. He was about 6'3", maybe 280, 290 pounds, and he had been punching holes in the wall, and then he was locking himself in the bedroom. And his parents had called, and police officers came. One of the police officers I happen to know, not socially, but I knew him from the gym, and he was there, a sergeant was there, and a policewoman was there. And he was locked in his room. They talked to him through the door for almost an hour, trying to get him to open the door to come out. After an hour, the sergeant came down to the parents and said, we're going to have to go in. He says, I promise you we won't hurt him. And they broke in the door, and they wrestled him down on the bed, and they handcuffed him, and they brought him out on a gurney and took him to the hospital. And where before this CIT training and all this came about, where before this would someone, with a police officer, talk for an hour through a closed door to somebody to try to get him to come out? You know, they'd have kicked the door in and took him down, you know.
The common misnomer is that police officers want to tackle you.
Right.
And they don't want to.
And they didn't bring him down on the floor. They took him down on the bed, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It was just amazing, I thought,
It was said over and over by the lieutenant who was mainly teaching the class, along with Maureen, you know. Maureen,
right, I know who it is. Yeah, I took it before you, so I know her.
Right,
you know?
Right. But, you know, the officer that was really directing the course for the police officers kept saying, remember, nobody becomes a police officer and doesn't have the reason, the primary reason that everyone says they want to become a police officer is to help people. Not because I have authority. It's they want to help people. But they're helping people in many, many different ways, not in just the way that you intend them to help people.
Right.
So, I mean, it's true for most people, right? Most people want to be good at their job. I want to help people with insurance. That's why I'm an insurance agent, right? Do I have a 99.9%, you know, satisfaction rate with all of my clients? No, because it's not possible, no matter what you do.
You got a 98% though, right, Shay?
Right, but yeah. We see these 1%, though. We see this, like, 0.5% of these cell phone camera, things mm-hmm. that are very short and edited by the media. And then it's said to us that these police officers are abusing their power. Anyway, be that as it may, whatever you want, I'm not going to change anybody's mind about it, but it's just interesting because these officers were very alert and they weren't joking around like, ha, 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 he's, you know, or this, you know, they weren't. They were very, they took it very seriously.
when I took the course, at least six officers came up to me at the end of the course and said, "We're so glad that you were here to talk about your side of the thing, you know, your side of the story." Because I had said one time during the class, "I don't want any of you hurt, but I also don't want my son hurt."
Right.
You know, right. And so we have to come to some kind of agreement and understanding between us that, you know, yes, I understand there's times you have to do your job. And sometimes that means taking a person down, you know, a little hard.
Right.
But a lot of times you can do it by talking to them, you know.
Right.
And
at least until in our county, the screener comes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they're implementing more screeners all over the country. But in the interest of time, it's I don't want to just talk about that.
No. Why don't you go back to becoming a team with your doctor, all right?
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is it's not always possible. Listen, it's not always possible, but sometimes, depending on the age, there's somebody that can sort of tee up a conversation with when you're sitting in with your psychiatrist. Some people need therapy more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need therapy. I didn't have a rough upbringing or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
In fact, I had a wonderful childhood. You know, all that stuff. So I didn't need therapy, per se. But I sort of needed an understanding from the doctor's perspective that I was rational enough to sort of suggesting and be a team with
mm-hmm.
my doctor, because it is you that's the patient. It's not the doctor. So, you know, you need to find the right doctor. And if you'd like a recommendation, I can post some.
And, you know, the thing is, too, that there has to be a relationship between the doctor. The patient has to be comfortable talking to the doctor.
Right, which isn't always the case.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right.
So there has to be a trust between both the patient and the doctor.
Right.
In this case. So I'm not saying it's always possible, but if at all possible, have a teamwork relationship with your psychiatrist. In other words, they're medical doctors. They're not psychologists. They don't just do talk therapy. Their job is to prescribe you pharmacologically the actual medication that's going to help you and adjust your brain chemistry.
Right, exactly.
So you just need to be sort of honest. Like, keep a journal. I always tell people, whenever you're in a bad state or you feel you're approaching a bad state, write down what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And put it somewhere where you'll know, and then bring it to your doctor. Even if he just uses it as a reference point, or she.
Right.
I'm not
right.
saying he. She.
He, she.
Who's your doctor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a question in line with what you're talking about. You mentioned earlier the psychiatrist on-call program. Could you talk a little bit more about when that is used and how and so forth?
I think Larry can talk to that more than I can.
Oh.
A lot of times in the ER, when somebody comes into the ER and they're having problems and, you know, and they need a psychiatrist to screen them to either release them or ask them, you know, commit them or whatever. And a lot of times at the hospital prior, they've only had, you know, 3 to 4 psychiatrists, and they were on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all of them. And now they have what Shay mentioned earlier is the Skype program, telepsychiatry. And what they do is they have a psychiatrist that they reach out to, and they come and they're on Skype. And it's the patient is there, and a nurse or whatever, the screener is there, and then the psychiatrist is talking to them. Now, the psychiatrists on Skype are all licensed in the state of New Jersey, but they may be in Colorado, you know, or California. It doesn't matter, but they have to be licensed in the state of New Jersey to do it. And, you know, the patient has the right to refuse Skype until 8 o'clock in the morning when a local psychiatrist comes into work. But if they don't care, then they do it, and a lot of times they do it over, you know, during the night. So that's
what
it is.
So is the primary role of that psychiatrist to diagnose, or what would you say? Is it to just calm the patient and
evaluate the person.
Evaluate.
You know,
yeah.
Evaluate if the person is, if the psychiatrist feels the person is needs to stay in the hospital a while, and that's what he recommends, you know.
And remember, the psychiatrist does not need to touch you to examine you for mental illness.
Right.
So it's just like seeing a psychiatrist in person. They can get a prescription to you
mm-hmm.
you can fill
right.
after this session.
Right.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. How long maybe would this Skype session last?
It varies.
Okay. There's no boundary.
There's no
for an hour, though?
There's no, you know, mm-hmm. 5 minutes to 30 minutes. It varies. It all depends on the patient, you know.
Understand. Okay.
We have to take another quick break, Shay. We will be back in just a minute or two.
I'm on a landline. It's all good. Thanks.
Okay, great.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and our co-host is Tracy Ivey. And our special guest today is Shay Dibley, who I consider a friend, and hopefully he considers me a friend. And Shay is a NAMI board member and someone who we've been talking about who has a mental health issue. But Shay is also married, the father of two children, and recently opened up his own insurance office in Hackettstown, was it?
The insurance office is in Washington.
In Washington, okay.
Yep. On Route 57, so even closer to Hunterdon County than where I live.
Okay. Well, you live in Hackettstown.
I do live in Hackettstown.
Okay. That's where I got the Hackettstown from. All right.
Right.
So your insurance office is in Washington. Okay.
Insurance office is in Washington. It's right on Main Street, catty corner from the Green Brick Methodist Church up here and right near the corner of Route 31 and Route 57.
Okay. I know that many times people who are, let's say, in recovery, they need others' help. And there's organizations like Easter Seals, Catholic Charities, that have all sorts of different programs that can help people. I know the Spirit program that Catholic Charities has is one that has helped quite a few people.
Quite a bit. And there's also, don't forget, much support in this state right now for things like autism, Asperger's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a lot of things that are going on with not only savants that we would consider savants, but people who have developmental disabilities.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We've come a long way. Think of how far we've come.
Oh yeah, we still got a long way to go though. Yeah.
We do, and there's also quite a bit more awareness and help for people who are addicted, which is really positive as well.
Right.
Because
right.
Let's face it. That's
big problem. So.
And, you know, ironically enough, a lot of times people with dual diagnosis start out with either drugs or alcohol.
And in this case, Larry is talking about dual diagnosis being a
mental health issue.
Substance abuse and mental health.
Right, and you turn around, and a lot of times they start the drug or the alcohol because of the pain that they're feeling going through the mental health issue.
Right.
And they feel that the drug and, you know, such will help a little bit kill the pain, you know.
It helps until it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly, until it becomes worse than a mental illness, you know.
Right, right.
And so, unfortunately, that's a problem, too.
I wanted to just, I know it's only one Monday from then, but I wanted to just give my endless support to those who have served, who have given their life, and who currently serve or have past served in honor of Memorial Day. It's very important to me. I've had a lot of people in the military in my family. Of course, I don't fit that description, you know, of a military man. But I do have the utmost respect for those people because they have ensured that we get to practice our liberties every day here in this country.
Well, I thank you. Being a vet, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like we were talking about, you know, asking for help. And, you know, sometimes when people have to ask for help, it requires self-reflection, also known as insight.
Right.
And a lot of times people are in a situation where they can't, they're having trouble self-reflecting or insight into themselves. And how can that be learned, you know?
Can it be learned?
It actually is not quite a stretch. It's not quite as much of a stretch as you might think. I think more people are learning insight now. I think more people than ever before are learning insight. The reason I say that is because not only has the diagnosis become less stigmatized, when they do go to the doctor and get on some form of medication, even if it's not the right medication, they're like, wow, I feel at least a lot better than I did. Like, maybe there was something to that, you know. Maybe, like, I am sick, you know, and it's sort of admission. It's not the same as denial. It's not the same as denial because, don't forget, you don't have insight. The brain is what you use to make the determinations and decisions. The brain is the same affected by it. So it's not the same as denial. It's really not. It's actually more than denial, but at the same time, the denial helps if you stop the denial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The denial helps. It's the first step sort of towards insight.
You have to go through denial first. Some people have to.
Some people have to go through denial first.
And they have to maybe hit bottom.
They have to drop the denial, let their guard down, and then maybe they can start to acquire insight. It's not that they don't have insight. It's that they've repressed their insight so much.
But there are some people, even though everyone around them is telling them there's something wrong and they need help, they still just don't believe it.
Right. Until they get on medication. Then they start to see, like, the veil, the cloud sort of lifts. Even though you feel maybe you don't feel better, but you feel sort of like, well, this is better than it was.
Right.
You know, it's better than it was. It's not perfect, but you can work towards it. You'll never be perfect with any mental health disorder or affliction. You'll never be perfect, but guess what? Life isn't perfect.
Right.
For everybody.
Exactly.
Life isn't perfect for anybody.
Exactly.
So.
And in our last 2 minutes or so, I know that you believe that all of us can assist in becoming holistically well by doing small, meaningful changes instead of life-changing ones. Mm-hmm. In other words, to attain a, you know, peak mental and physical health. Would you speak to that for a minute or so?
Absolutely. So if it's just, like, if you drink a coffee, which many of us do, or tea in the morning, think about maybe having one less sugar in that tea, one less cream in that coffee. and just try to acquire a taste for maybe just more just the coffee itself. Maybe you'll stop drinking coffee a little bit more, too, because you don't like it as much. It did the job, but you don't need several cups now because you're drinking it more towards black. So you could skip the second cup of coffee, but if you drink it as a milkshake, I think we forget how many calories you ingest.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So something along those lines. Not something you can live with. Something you live with. Just, for instance, if you want to quit smoking, if you smoke a pack a day, all you got to do is take one out of the pack and put it in another pack in your house. Those are the cigarettes in that pack that you're going to smoke for that day. 19. Then you're going to keep smoking 19 for a week. Then you're going to smoke 18 for a week. Then 17 for a week. You know?
Did it work for you?
Yeah, I was going to say, Shay, what are you down to?
It didn't work for me. I'm a heavy smoker. I'm a heavy cigarette smoker, but that's the idea. It's been proposed to me. It might work for some people.
You know how they got me to quit? After all the years I tried and tried and tried and tried everything under the sun, they had to put me on an operating table, turn me that my head was down facing the, you know, towards the floor, and they scraped my vocal cords of polyps, and they told me that that was the only time they could do it. The next time they'd have to take it out, and I'd have to talk through the, you know, holding your thing.
I just might quit smoking right now.
I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. And that was almost 28 years ago.
But you know what my doctor said? 3 years ago, real quick, 3 years ago, he told me, I said, I really want to quit smoking. What can I do, doc? He says, you know what you need to do before you quit smoking? He says, you need to lose weight. And I said, okay. If you're at high risk of diabetes, I'm more concerned about that for now. So what did I set my sights on? Losing weight. And Larry's seen me that I've lost a few pounds since then. So I'm at lower risk of diabetes, which is good. So now that I'm at lower risk of diabetes, I think it's time to focus on cutting down on cigarettes and just quitting.
Well, I tell you, I got a touch of emphysema from all the years I smoked. And I have to breathe every morning, otherwise I'm gasping for breath. So, you know, I just throw that out, Shay.
Yeah. I know. I wholeheartedly agree. But anyway, to wrap it up on a lighter note, I'm going to give you a quote. Okay?
Okay.
The quote is not funny, but it's light. It's Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, when asked, how does it feel to be the most, you know, the smartest person in the world? So he was asked that question. His response was, I don't know. Go ask Nikola Tesla, who was not regarded as anywhere being even close, widely regarded as the smartest person in the world. But by the person that they thought was the smartest person in the world, he was considered the smartest person in the world. So, anyway.
Okay. On that note, Shay, I have to thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Shay.
And I won't see you at the NAMI meeting because I'll be away in scenic Ireland. So,
enjoy.
I'm going to try.
Dublin?
I'm sorry?
Going to Dublin?
We're flying into Dublin, yeah.
Enjoy it.
And I will see you when I get back and talk to you and such. And I really appreciate you coming on.
Okay. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much, buddy. Take
Bye,
care. Bye bye.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge.